everyone. Thank you all for coming to learn together with us. I want to begin by thanking Mimi and Byron Shore for dedicating the Shia in memory of their father, Naftali Ben Mendel Zatzal. The topic of the Shia is Yerovam Ben Nevat, what will they say about me? So let's begin by learning a little bit about Yerovam from the Psukim and the Navi. And as you'll see on the source sheet, we're going to turn to page 836. In the Scroll Tanakh here. And the Navi tells us here in Melachim Aleph, it's Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chavav, the Yerovam ben Nevat Ephrati, Menatzerei Da, V'shem Imo Tzeruwa, so it tells us he's from Shevet Ephraim, Yerovam is from Shevet Ephraim, where he's from, Menatzerei Da, his mother's name Tzeruwa, Yisho Almano Eved Shlomo, a widow who is a servant of Shlomo, V'yorim Yad Bamelech. And the Pasuk tells us that he rebelled against the king. He rebelled against Shlomo HaMelech. V'zeh ha-dever asher heirim yad b'melech. And the following was the matter in which he rebelled. Shlomo bana es ha-miro. Shlomo HaMelech built the miro. The miro was an area where people who would be over the regla would congregate. And Shlomo took that area and filled it in, and now it was no longer available for the Ohel Regalim to congregate. Sagaras Peretz Ir David Aviv, he closed up the opening to Ir David. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech did, and Yerovam came to him, and Yerovam rebuked him for doing that. Yerovam said, it's not right, the people need this place to congregate when they go to be Ohel Regal. And then the Pasuk takes a step back and says, who was Yerovam? Va'ish Yerovam Gibor Chayil, he was someone who was powerful, he was a man of valor. Va'yar Shlomo'os Hanar, ki Yosei Merachahu, before this incident where Yerovam had rebelled against Shlomo, so Shlomo had seen that Yerovam was someone who was capable of doing good work, Va'yafkedoso L'chol Seva Beis Yosef, and he appointed him in charge of all of the tax collecting of the house of Yosef. And then the Torah tells us another incident, the Navi tells us another incident that took place before Yerovam's rebellion and actually contributed to what Yerovam was feeling and might have led to his feeling confident enough to rebel against Shlomo. And the Pasuk tells us here, continuing, Pasuk Chav Tes, Vahibo Isahiv Yerovam Yatzim Yusharayim, Yerovam left Yusharayim, Vayimtzol Ser Achia Hashironi HaNavi. And Achia, the Navi, comes and finds him by Berach on the road, Rumus Kaseh B'Salmach HaDashah, he was wearing a new garment, Ushneim Revadim Basada, the two of them are alone in the field, Achia, the Navi, and Yerovam Ben Nevat. Vayispos Achia B'Salmach HaDashah Sher Arav, Achia grabs this new garment that's on him, Vayikra'o Shneim Asar Kira'im, and tears it into 12 different pieces. Vayomer Yerovam, and he says to Yerovam, this is symbolic, Kach Echa Asara Kira'im, take 10 of the 12 pieces, Kicho Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, because so said Hashem, Hineni Koreya Asamam Lachom Yad Shlomo, I'm going to tear away the kingdom from Shlomo HaMelech, Minasati Recha Eis Asara Hashvotim, and I'm going to give you 10 of the tribes. V'Hashevet Ha'echad Yiyaro, and one of the tribes, Yehuda, will remain with Shlomo, Reman Abdi David, for my servant, the merit of my servant David, Reman Yerushalayim, Asher Bachalti, V'Amikoshivta Yisrael, and in the merit of Yerushalayim, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Klal Yisrael. So this is what happened before Yerovam rebels. Yerovam is already told that he's going to be king of the Aseres HaShvatim. After Yerovam rebels and rebukes Shlomo HaMelech for what he had done in filling in the Miral, so Shlomo HaMelech gets very upset at Yerovam, understandably. And the Pasuk tells us, here if we go down to Pasuk Mem, later on the same page, Pasuk Mem, Vayivakei Shlomo Vahamises Yerovam, Shlomo wanted to put Yerovam to death. Vayakom Yerovam Vayivrach Mitzrayim, so Yerovam had to get up and flee to Egypt, Al Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, to Shishak the king of Mitzrayim, Ahivim Mitzrayim, and Mos Shlomo, and he was forced to remain there in exile until the death of Shlomo HaMelech. The next time that Yerovam appears, he's the representative of the Jewish people when they come to King Rehoboam. After Shlomo HaMelech passes away, so his son Rehoboam is going to take over the kingship, and the people come to Rehoboam and they say, life was difficult in the times of your father Shlomo. We had to work very hard for him. It wasn't so easy. We'd like you to be lenient on us. We'd like you to go easier on us. And who do the people choose as their representative to come to King Shlomo? So it's Yerovam. And we see that here, if you turn to page 838, the next page, Parak Yibiz, Pasuk Gimel. Vayishlechu vayikru Yerov. They sent and they called for Yerovam to bring him back from Mitzrayim. Vayavir Yerovam lecholkal Yisrael. Vayidabu al Rechavam lemor. So Yerovam is the representative of the Jewish people in this mission to Rechavam. And as we know, Rechavam did not listen to what the people had asked of him. He said, if Shlomo HaMelech made your burdens difficult, I'm going to make it much more difficult. You'll see who's boss. And Rechavam told them that he plans on giving them a hard time. And they basically respond by leaving Rechavam. And when they leave Rechavam, they need to choose a new king for themselves, and they choose Yerovam. And the pasuk here, it's pasuk Chaf, the very bottom of the page. Vayhi kishmoa kol Yisrael, kishav Yerovam, they heard Yerovam had come back, vayishlechu vayikru'u osoa ha'eda, vayamrichu osoa kol Yisrael, they coronated him as king over all of Israel. The only tribe that stuck with the house of David that stuck with King Rechavam was the Shevet of Yehuda. So Yerovam now had fled to Egypt and he had returned. He had represented the people in the talks with Rechavam. And when the talks had failed and the people decided to appoint their own king, they chose Yerovam as their king. Things did not go well for very long. Here on the same page, page 840, if we look at Pasuk Chavav, so the Pasuk tells us, Vayomer Yerovam b'libo, so Yerovam said in his heart, Atata Shuvam Amrachol Veis David, so now the kingdom is going to return to the house of David, to Rechavam, everyone's going to return to Rechavam. Why is that? So he explains, Im Yara Ha'am Hazer, Ha'asol Zivachim B'Veis Hashem B'Yusharayim, everyone is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring Korbanos in Yusharayim, Yusharayim, which is within the area of Yehuda and Binyamin, the Shavu Ha'am Hazer Adonai, and the hearts of the people will return to their master, Rechavam Melech Yehuda, to Rechavam, the king of Yehuda, the Hayaguni, and they're going to kill me, they're going to view me as a rebel, and they're going to kill me, the Shavu Rechavam Melech Yehuda, and they'll return to Rechavam. So what does he decide to do? And this is the beginning of his mistake, his primary mistake, Vayivot HaMelech Pasuk Chavches. He took counsel, Vayash Shnei Agrei Zav, he set up two golden calves, Vayomer Areyam, and he said to the people, Rav Lachem Me'aros Yerushalayim, it's not necessary, it's too much for you to be over a regal, to go up to Yerushalayim, Himeh Okecha Yisrael, here are your idols, these two golden calves, Asher Arucha Me'aros Mitzrayim, it's them who took you out of Egypt, it sounds familiar, right? Vayasem Eser Echa B'Veisel, Eser Echa Nosem B'Dan, he set up one of these idols in Beisel, and another one in Dan, Vayhi Adavar Hazer Echata, it was a great sin for him, a terrible sin for him. And the people listened and they went ahead and they worshipped these golden calves. If we turn to page 846, so the Navi just summarizes and concludes for us about Yerovam's reign in Pasuk Chaf. Vayomim asher melech Yerovam eshim ushtayim shana, he reigned for 22 years, vayishkavim avosav, and he passed away, vayimroch nadav b'no tachtav, and his son Nadav took over the reign, became king after him. So this is the story of Yerovam. He gives Shlomo HaMelech rebuke, he's forced to run to Mitzrayim, he represents the Jewish people in their discussions with Rechavam. When the people leave Rechavam, they coronate him as king. He's afraid that they're going to return to Rechavam, and therefore he goes ahead and sets up idols to prevent them from being over the Raglav to worship in the Beis HaMikdash, to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. And he reigns for 22 years, and he's known throughout history, as the Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, as someone who's lost his portion in the world to come because of the sins that he committed himself in worshiping idols, and the fact that he caused the entire Jew, or most of the Jewish people, to worship idols as well. What is it that led Yerovam to this mistake? And I think we're going to see that there are three examples of where Yerovam was overly concerned with what people would say about him. Instead of focusing on what the right thing to do was, he was thinking about what's my reputation going to look like. The first example of this is what we see in the Psukim themselves, here in source 1. The idea that he was afraid that people would be Olah HaRegel, they would go to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and they would see that Rechavam is the real king. And they would kill him, and they would leave him, and they would return to Rechavam. He was afraid with how it would look when everyone went up to Yerushalayim to be Olah HaRegel. When we just read the Pasuk, it sounds like his concern was pretty legitimate. The Pasuk says here in source 1, just take it one more time, In Yara Ha'am Hazer Ha'asol Zivachim B'Veis Hashem B'Yerushalayim, if the people will go off to bring Korbanos in the house of Hashem in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, The shav rov ha'am hazeh adonai, and the hearts of the people of the nation will return to their master, the Rechavam Melech Yehuda, to Rechavam the king of Yehuda, the Haraguni, they're going to kill me. The shav rov Rechavam Melech Yehuda, and they'll return to Rechavam. So what's his concern? The way the Navi phrases it, his concern is they're going to realize he's not the king and they're going to kill him. Sounds like a legitimate concern. Sounds like something to be afraid of. The Gemara takes it in a slightly different way. The Gemara says here in Source 2, Gemara in Sanhedrin and Perek Chirek, Amar of Nachman, Gassus Haruach Shehayago B'Yerovam Tirdosim in Ha'olam. It was the arrogance that Yerovam had which drove him out of the world. It's explaining the Mishnah that he lost his portion in the next world. It was the arrogance that led to that. Shemoyama, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that we just saw, Ayoma Yerovam Beribo, Atata Shuvamam Rechava Beis David, that the kingdom will return to the house of David, to Rechavam, Imyara Amazel, Asus Rechim Beis Hashem, Yerushalayim, if they all go to bring Karbonos, Beis HaMikdash, in the territory of Yehuda and Binyamin, Veshav Reva Amazel, Adonayim, El Rechavam, Melech Yehuda, they'll return to Rechavam, Haraguni, they'll kill me, Veshav Reva Rechavam, Melech Yehuda. So that's the Pasuk. And Rav Nachman says that somehow we see from there that it was arrogance which caused him to sin. Amar, what did he say? What did Yerovam say? Gemiri, we have a tradition, Be'en Yeshiva Ba'azara, Ere Ramalche Beis Yehuda Bevar. The only people who are allowed to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to standing, are the kings from the house of Yehuda. Rechavam has permission to sit. But I, Yerovam, do not have permission to sit. Kevan v'chazu reyve Rechavam d'yasev, when everybody sees that Rechavam is sitting there in his honor and in his glory as the king of Yehuda sitting there in the Beis HaMikdash, v'anaka imma, and I, Yerovam, am standing up together with everyone else who came to the Olal HaRegel, sadly the people are going to think, Ha Malka, this one Rechavam is the king, v'ha Avda, and this one I, Yerovam, am the servant. So if I stand, they're going to think that I'm not the king. V'iyasivna, and if I sit, Moreh v'malchus havoy, it will be viewed as rebelling against the kingdom of Rechavam, because the only person who's allowed to sit is the king, and if I'm sitting, I'm demonstrating that I believe that I'm the king, says Yerovam. V'katvinri, and then they'll kill me, v'ozlu b'asrei, and they'll follow Rechavam. And if we look at the Gemara carefully, he's concerned with two different things. He's concerned with, if he sits, they'll think that he's rebelling against Rechavam, and they'll kill him. And he's concerned that if he stands, people will say, Rechavam is the king, and Yerovam who's standing is the servant. He wasn't afraid, as seeming from the literal interpretation of the Pasuk, that regardless of what would happen, he would be killed. From the literal interpretation of the Pasuk, it sounds like everyone's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to see the Beis HaMikdash in the territory of Yehuda and Binyamin, of Rechavam, and they're going to say he's the true king. But the way the Gemara understands it is that Yerovam was not certain that he would be put to death. His only problem was, if I sit, then they'll put me to death. And if I stand, this will all work out. They won't put me to death. But there's one problem. If I stand, they'll say, he's the king and I'm his servant. So it wasn't just the fear of death. It was what Nachman and the Gemara explains. It was his arrogance that he did not want people to say, he's the king and he's the servant. It also doesn't sound like his concern was that he would automatically lose the throne. His concern was not, if I stay here, if I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone goes, they're going to abandon me and treat me like the servant and not the king. His concern was that when they see me standing there, their reaction to seeing me standing will be, he's the king and he's the servant. What they'll say, not just that he'll lose the throne. And the Maharsha takes this a step further. The Maharsha says here in Source 3, Sheyiru also the yeshiva ba'azara. If they were to see Rechavam sitting in the azara, as Rechavam is permitted to do. V'ani omer and I Yerovam and standing. That's what he was concerned about. V'hainu gasus haruach shehayabo. That was his arrogance. What was his arrogance? Sheron ha'yahu rotsa ramo v'makum sheRechavam yoshev. Why should I be standing when Rechavam is sitting? The way the Maharsha explains the Gemara, it's not only that he's afraid that people will say, he's the king and he's the servant, it's he's afraid that people will say, why am I any less than him? Why should he be allowed to sit and I'm standing? I must be less than. That was his fear. Not only that he would be viewed not as the king, but that he would be viewed as less than. A second example of Yeravam's concern for what people would think of him, we can see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin here in source 4. The Gemara tells us, Achar Hadavar Hazah, after this matter, and the Gemara is going to explain that in a minute, Roshav Yeravam Midarko HaRa'ah. Yeravam did not repent from his evil ways. So asks the Gemara, my Achar, what does it mean after? After what? Following what did he refuse to repent? Amar Rabbi Abba, Achar Shetefasel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeravam Bivigdo, after Hashem figuratively grabbed Yeravam by his clothing, by his garment, for Amar Ochazoba, repent to Tshuva. V'ani v'atel ben Yishai, and I, you, and David HaMelech, the son of Yishai, and Nitayo b'Gan Eden, will go for a stroll together in Gan Eden. Pretty good deal. He had, after all the terrible things that he's done, he's been offered the opportunity to repent and to walk together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech in Gan Eden. On my role, what's Yeravam's response? He responds, me, Barosh. Who's going to go first? David HaMelech or myself? Hashem responds, Ben Yishai Barosh. David HaMelech is going to go first. And Yeravam says, Ihachi Rova'ina. If so, I'm not interested, and he continues in his evil ways. And we definitely see from here Yeravam's arrogance. He couldn't tolerate being second to David HaMelech. But we see more than that. We see the fact that he was concerned with what people would say about him, and I'll explain why. The Torah Chaim here in source 5 explains the following. He says, Amar Ro, Mi Barosh. So Yeravam asked, who's going to go first? And Hashem responded, Ben Yishai Barosh, David HaMelech will go first. And I thought when I read the Gemara, and you, Yeravam, will go second. But that's not what Hashem meant. Hashem meant, Ben Yishai Barosh, David HaMelech will go first, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'achrona, and Hashem will go last. Now it's true. He was saying that Yeravam would go second. But when he said that David HaMelech would go first, he meant David would be first, Hashem would be last, and Yeravam would be in the middle. And explains the Torah Chaim, D'malchusa D'rekia, K'ein Malchusa D'ara, that the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly entourage is like the earthly kingdom and the earthly entourage. Shehamelech over Bachrona, the king travels last in the procession. Shemeramah, as the Pasuk says, Rogu Ruach Hashem, the Hashem is not found in the wind, V'achar Ruach Rash, and after the wind was this noisy earthquake, Rogu Rash Hashem, and Hashem is not found there either, V'achar HaRash Eish, and after that comes a fire, V'achar HaEish Kolz Mamad Dakar, and after that comes a soft, thin, still voice, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu travels last in his heavenly entourage. Look at the Ashkechon, the Ugdud Rav Sheshes Atayak HaRoah, and there's a story in the Gemara in Brachos, where an earthly king was traveling by, and it was the same way that the king travels last. The mirror, the Haimur HaDechsir, this is what is meant when David HaMelech says, Es HaRefet Lei Hashem Ba'artzer Sachayim. I will walk before Hashem in the land of the river. Artzer Sachayim Haimur Gan Eden, the land of the river refers to Gan Eden, and his spoiler David Atzmo, David was taking praise for himself, Sheyatayov Yisharech began Eden, with Lei Hashem, David as a servant of Hashem, as a humble servant of Hashem, was saying proudly, I will travel first, as the lower servants do, preceding the king who travels last in the entourage. Now the fun of Yisbarach the Kolam woke the Amar Hacha ben Yishai Barosh. So when Hashem said that Ben Yishai Barosh, David HaMelech will go first, he meant David first, Yeravam second, Hashem last as the king goes last. Now, in an entourage traveling a kingly procession, so the king goes last, and his servants go first. Is there a hierarchy in terms of who travels first and second? Was Yeravam being told that he was going to have the preferable position, being second, closer to the king Hashem? Or was he told that the second position is worse? How does it work? So if we look at the Mishnah in Maseches Yoma, when the Kohen Gadol goes to read from the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur, so there's an order of honor of presenting the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol. And the Mishnah tells us, Chazan HaKnesses Noto Sefer Torah, the Gabbai of the Shul takes the Sefer Torah, the Mosna Rosh HaKnesses, and gives it to the head of the community. The Rosh HaKnesses Mosna Rishkan, and the head of the community gives it to the deputy Kohen Gadol. Vaskan Mosna Kohen Gadol, and the deputy gives it to the Kohen Gadol himself. In other words, you start with, the hierarchy is you start with a person of lesser honor, and it's passed up to the person of higher honor. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yerubbaal that Ben Yishai Berosh, he was saying that David HaMelech will have the lower position of going first. You will have the greater position of going second, and I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will take the final position as the king travels last in his entourage. So if that's the case, why did Yerubbaal say no? And perhaps we can suggest that the reason is that before I saw this explanation, I would never have thought that traveling second is considered more honorable than traveling first. If you would ask the people who would see, who would witness such a thing, who's more honorable, David HaMelech is going first or Yerubbaal is going second, we would say, I would have said just a few days ago before seeing this, most people would say going first is considered to be preferable. And therefore, even though Yerubbaal may have known, Yerubbaal, who is such a Talmud Chacham, as the Gemara explains, you may have known that it's preferable to go second, we're still not happy with it, because what would other people think? They would think that I'm less honorable than David HaMelech. What's meant by this stroll in Gan Eden? So the Yad Ramah explains here in Surah 7, Derech HaMashahu, it's a parable. That Hashem sent his Nevi'im to rebuke him, to cause him to repent, to sell a bow, and he refused. And then Hashem promised him, he promised him all the good of the next world in Yaxuba. If he would just repent, he would get all the good of the next world, the Sarabba. And again he refused. As a person who refuses to do what his friend is asking of him, the point where his friend grabs onto his garment and asks him and asks him and asks him. And he continues to say no, no, no. The high day on Nina, and this that we say, Aniva Atu Ben Yishai Netayah Began Eden, Gamze Derech Moshe, it's also a parable, Shahak Boros Pnei Shechina Hi Gan Eden, that when we talk about Gan Eden in general, in all places, we refer to this receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the story is giving us a mashal, is giving us a parable, and explaining to us that this was Yerubbaal's way of life. Yerubbaal's way of life was, I'm not interested primarily in what's right, I'm not interested even in what's really more honorable in Hashem's eyes. I'm only interested in what are the people going to say. If we look at the Gemara, or if we look here at source 8, he asks a question from looking carefully at the Gemara. When Hashem said, Ani ba'ata ben Yishai Netayah began Eden, repent, and me, you, and David HaMelech will travel together in Gan Eden. So who's mentioned first? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Yerubbaal, and then David HaMelech. Now this explanation is taking an alternative, it's an alternative explanation to what we saw before in the Torah Chaim, that it's actually preferable to be later on in the entourage. This is assuming that it's better to be earlier in the entourage. But Hashem said to Yerubbaal that Yerubbaal would actually come first. So why was Yerubbaal so concerned? What was he afraid of? Why did he ask Hashem, Yivarosh, who's going to go first? Hashem told him who's going to go first. So answers of Chaim Shmuel Ravitz here in source 8, and just for the sake of time, I'll say it outside, that Yerubbaal understood that Hashem said he would go first, but he wanted to hear it explicitly. He was so interested in pursuing honor that he had to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu say explicitly that you will go first. The Aruch HaMor points to a Gemara, a well-known Gemara, that in a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, a Tzadik Gomer can't stand, that someone who repents is greater than a Tzadik Gomer. And he therefore asks, if Yerubbaal was going to do Tshuva, he was going to be a Baal Tshuva. David HaMelech, he's assuming, is a Tzadik Gomer. You can also ask, David HaMelech, we know, sort of represents Tshuva, he's a symbol of Tshuva. But let's assume for now, the way he does it, David HaMelech is someone who's a Tzadik Gomer, and Yerubbaal had the potential to be a Baal Tshuva. So Yerubbaal would have been greater. So why would Yerubbaal be second? And the Aruch HaMor answers that a Baal Tshuva is only preferable to a Tzadik Gomer if he does Tshuva for the right reasons, for altruistic reasons. But in this case, once Yerubbaal said, Mi Barosh, who's going to go first? Even though Hashem had originally said, you would go first, you Yerubbaal will go first, because you have the potential to be a Baal Tshuva, and a Baal Tshuva is much greater than a Tzadik Gomer. Once Yerubbaal said, Mi Barosh, who's going to go first? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you're doing tshuva for ulterior motives, then already a tzadik gomer is greater, and that's why Ben Yishai Berosh. So Yerubbaal had the opportunity to achieve such a great madriga, such a great level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he would only have proper altruism. altruistic motives, and he turned them down because he was only interested in his own honor and what other people would say. One final example of Yerobam's excessive focus on what people would say, we see in the following year in Source 10. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Ma Zachar Yerobam Umalchus. Why did Yerobam merit to be king? Mipnei Shochiach Es Shlomo. Because he rebuked Shlomo. It was the right thing to do to rebuke Shlomo. The Torah tells us, Shochiach Tochiach Es Amitecha. We're supposed to rebuke someone who we see doing something wrong. So if that's the case, and that's why he merited to be king, Mipnei Ma Ne'enosh, then why was he punished? Answers the Gemara, Meshal Chicho Berabim, because he gave him rebuke in public. The same pasuk which says, Hocheach Tochiach Et Amitecha, that we're supposed to rebuke our friend, says, V'Hosisa Rav Chet, we're not supposed to bear sin because of our rebuke. And the commentators explain that what that means is that we should not rebuke in a way that will cause embarrassment to the person we're speaking to. And because Yerobam embarrassed him in public, that's why he was punished. Rashi explains, why did Yerobam rebuke him in public? Yerobam should have known better. So Rashi explains here in Source 11, his intent was to embarrass him. He wanted to lead a negative campaign. He knew he had the potential to be king. He knew Yerobam is king now. How do we take that on? We lead a negative campaign. Let's get the PR going. Let everyone say negative things about Shlomo HaMelech. Let me rebuke him in public in order to embarrass him. How can the Gemara say that Yerobam was punished because he rebuked Shlomo in public and embarrassed him? Don't we know why Yerobam was punished? Don't we know it's because he worshipped idols? It's because he caused the entire generation to worship idols? So the Yad Rambam addresses that question here in verse 12 and says, what caused him to stumble into the sin of idol worship? And his merits didn't protect him? It was because he embarrassed him in public. It was because he embarrassed Shlomo in public. And along similar lines we see in the Marashah here in verse 13, the Yesh Redaktik, the Om Chosho Yerobam, the Fuish Bekra, the Navi tells us explicitly why he was punished. He shehechti Yisrael b'avodas kochavim, he caused the Jewish people to sin with idol worship. V'yesh romer ke'inyan sha'amru aveira goreles aveira. One sin leads to another, and if not for the arrogance that he had in rebelling against Malchus Beis David, in rebelling against Rechavam, and rebelling against Shlomo, he would not have ultimately caused the Jewish people to sin with Avodah Zarah. In other words, this trait of always being interested in what other people are going to say about me, and always seeking after honor, ultimately led to him worshipping idols, causing the generation to worship idols, losing his portion in the world to come. And when we read the Nevi'im, what are we ultimately saying about him? We're saying about him what we're saying about him now. It didn't work out so well for him. The Shulchan Aruch says here in Source 14, Rojus Bayesh of Nebun Adam Hamaligim Arab Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. We should not be embarrassed that people pick fun of us when we serve Hashem. Our most important directive is to do what's right. When we try and decide what we should do, the number one criteria is, what's the right thing to do? We shouldn't look over our shoulders. What are they going to say about me? What are they going to say about me? And if I could just add one more additional point, you know, there's an idea in the study of cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm in Wurzweiler School of Social Work now. So one of the things that I learned is that there are many cognitive distortions. A cognitive distortion is something that, it's a common mistake that a person will make. They'll think along certain lines, and many people mistakenly think along these lines. And one of the most common cognitive distortions is what's called mind reading. I assume that I know what he's going to say. I think he's looking down at me. I think he's going to criticize me. If Yerobam would have stood in the Azara, you know what most people would have said? They wouldn't have said, Hamalka v'ha'avda, he's the king and he's the servant. They would have said, I'm interested in eating a nice, juicy carbon shlomo. They're not concerned with Yerobam standing or with Yerobam sitting. He was concerned with all of his mind reading, what are they going to say about me? They probably weren't thinking about Yerobam. They were thinking about the fact that they were there in Yerushalayim, they were close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were with their families, they were enjoying karbanos. They were not overly focused on Yerobam. And Yerobam's mistake was number one, getting too involved in this cognitive distortion of mind reading. He has no idea what people are saying about him. And second of all, and most importantly, that when we decide what we do in life, it has to be primarily on what we truly deep down believe to be right and not what other people are going to say about us. Thank you.